The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now... here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could join us here on this Hemp Day Hump Day. We're going to have ourselves a good time, as always. Of course, today's show is the Cannabis Science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You're going to get your chance to get your questions answered, your live questions answered, from one of the leading researchers on marijuana in this country. Before we get too far into the show, though, let's introduce the engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Just chilling. I see that you've got show and tell today. You've come from the land of well, I don't know what to say, the land of beautiful buds, I guess.
Yeah, I got some Blue Dream here. And
Blue Dream.
Of course, the mumbles.
The mumbles.
Yep. Always.
You know, like I always say, growing up back in Idaho, we had two strains, got some and don't. Here you're showing up with a whole cornucopia. It's a beautiful thing. Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carrie.
Life does just keep getting better and better, doesn't it, Russ?
Life's a good thing. We're having a nice sunny day here in Portland, too. How about you?
Oh, it is postcard perfect outside today. I wish you could all come on a walk with me as soon as the show's over.
All right. Well, again, on today's show, we're going to be getting into Dr. Mitch Earlywine segment here at half past the hour, so save your phone calls until then. The phone number will be 971-533-7111. Before that, though, we'll have some Irie Wednesday music from Grateful Dread Public Radio. And at the end of the show, if we've got enough time, I'm going to take a little more time. We talked about it in hour two. I'm going to talk about it here in the Radical Rant about our new podcast from the southern states called Cannabis States of America, and a little brouhaha that is brewing about their flag that they've chosen to use. We'll talk about that in the Radical Rant. Before we get to that, though, of course, we've got our news with Cannabis Carrie and CannabisFantastic.com, and tell us what's coming up.
All right. Well, we've got two really important cannabis reform bills that passed their committees today, one in Colorado, one in Washington State. We'll cover those. And also a corporate giant that taketh away and then has a change of heart. We're going to talk about that as well.
All right. All that coming up next here on Normal Show Live. And, of course, we are a part of the Normal Network. Check us out all day long, all night long. You tune in, you're going to hear a marijuana-related podcast. You can get the schedule up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And just tune in, live.normal.org. Anytime, you'll find something that you'll enjoy, and you'll learn something, too. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
If I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Straub.
And federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We were there when 11 states decriminalized marijuana use.
Seems like such a simple message, just say no.
We were there as mandatory minimums were enacted and the drug czar was invented.
And I didn't like it and didn't inhale and never tried it again.
We were there for medical marijuana legalization in 15 states.
I inhaled it frequently. That was the point.
And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual national conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Straub. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We'll turn things over to Cannabis Carrie in just a moment. I'm opening up with news that Hollywood icon Elizabeth Taylor has passed away. She was a phenomenal actress, but perhaps now even better remembered as the fearless activist for AIDS back in the 1980s when President Reagan wouldn't even utter the acronym. But in doing some research before today's show, we found that according to biographies of Elizabeth Taylor, she was a regular cannabis consumer in the 1970s. This comes from the blog Token Women. Liz's experimentation with marijuana began in the mid-1973 when she partied with Peter Lawford and his son Christopher, hitting hot spots like Candy Store in Beverly Hills. Peter's friend Arthur Natoli recalled, "Lawford and Elizabeth used to turn on together. They were high on pot a lot. I don't know if he supplied her," end quote. Taylor was 19 when she was cast in A Day in the Sun opposite Montgomery Clift, and she had a lifelong devotion to Clift, who smoked marijuana, as did James Dean. According to Ambern, quote, "Elizabeth sometimes ditched second husband Michael Wilding to slip off to Oscar Levant's Beverly Hills house with Monty, where the pianist serenaded them with Gershwin tunes as they whiled away afternoons and early evenings," end quote. Her fourth husband, Eddie Fisher, was revealed to be a pot smoker by his daughter Carrie in her 2008 book, Wishful Drinking. In his 2008 autobiography, Tony Curtis says marijuana was very popular in Hollywood around the time of his 1971 bust for carrying pot through the Heathrow Airport. Elizabeth Taylor, Hollywood actress, former cannabis consumer, passed away today.
And the Washington bill that would regulate the production and sale of medical marijuana was narrowly approved this morning by the Washington House Health and Wellness Committee. Senate Bill 5073 is now headed to the full floor for a vote. The heavily amended bill is being watched closely by dispensary workers and owners in the state, where just last week a Spokane County Superior Court jury rejected the interpretation that dispensaries are allowed under the current law and convicted a dispensary owner of marijuana trafficking. Local politicians across the state have tried to distance themselves from the dispute, arguing that it is a legislative matter and nothing a city council would be able to rule on. The health care committee voted 6-5 to send the newest version of the comprehensive medical marijuana bill to the floor. If passed in its current state, it will allow the health department to decide how many medical marijuana dispensaries can be located in each county. A point that was not lost on current dispensary owners is that it would also set up a lottery for licenses for whatever that number is decided to be. So there's no guarantee that the current dispensaries could stay in business after July 2012 when the new law would take effect. It does provide additional protection from arrest for persons who receive a letter from their doctor doctor that recommends marijuana as a treatment. A patient can be on a voluntary state registry, which would protect him or her from both arrest and prosecution for possession of 24 ounces or less of marijuana, or have the doctor's letter, which would protect from arrest, but still could result in prosecution where the medical marijuana defense could be argued. One change in the bill that could potentially be significant is that it forbids medical practices that are solely for recommending marijuana. That changed from the previous language, which banned practices primarily around recommending marijuana. A requirement that dispensaries had to run as nonprofits is now gone, and a collective marijuana operation can now serve 10 people rather than only 3 from the previous version of the bill. The Department of Agriculture will still be in charge of licensing marijuana growing and processing operations. Health Committee Chairwoman Eileen Cody, a Democrat from West Seattle, said that she thought the new version had enough support to pass the House. We'll see.
Yeah, well, it sounds as if some of the more odious parts, some of these more odious amendments have gone by the wayside, and what they're left with sounds pretty good. But let me talk about these points by point here. Deciding the total number of dispensaries and having a lottery to decide which ones you're going to have there. I don't know about that. I suppose the idea here is to make it fair to everyone, but should this really be something that is just open to anybody? Shouldn't there be some sort of qualifying considerations here before one is granted a license to open a dispensary? There might be some operators who are in business right now who shouldn't be allowed to continue, who maybe are careless with the medicine that we should want to cull from the numbers here. So just leaving it up to random chance, who's going to get to continue? I'd like to see a little more oversight than that, but okay. Let's see. What else? The voluntary registry. You know, I get so many people here that complain about, oh, we don't want to be on a registry, don't want to be on a list. This is the best possible compromise. You don't have to be on the list. You can still get your doctor's rec. You can still go off the doctor's letter and risk the prosecution if you want to. But if you'd prefer to have a nice little card in your wallet that allows you to carry around a pound and a half, you can sign up for that, too. So that's a great compromise that's happened there. This thing about banning clinics that are solely for the recommendation of medical marijuana is problematic. Of course, this is going after places like THCF and other clinics out there that their sole job is to review your medical records to see if you qualify and then to approve you for medical marijuana. Well, that's problematic because there are so many doctors out there that don't recommend medical marijuana because they can't. You know, they work for the VA or Kaiser or Blue Cross Blue Shield, or they work for hospitals or clinics or partnerships or HMOs that will cut them, cut their insurance or fire them if they are recommending medical marijuana. So where are these people supposed to go? Now, this can be alleviated. You know, the workaround for this is, of course, is to have clinics that are more holistic in approach that might offer things like, you know, acupuncture and massage therapy and other treatments as well, so that they're not solely recommending for medical marijuana. But why make this more difficult for the sick people that really need this help? And finally, upping the number from 3 to 10 patients that can be in a collective, I think that should satisfy just about everyone.
And now that there are thousands of legitimate businesses that deal in some way with medical marijuana, more and more mainstream corporations have been caught in the debate by making policies surrounding them. A dispensary in Denver found out where beverage giant Coca-Cola stands. Altitude Wellness Center had a small self-serve cooler that held Coca-Cola products for their clients in their lobby for about the last year. Since they had put it in the lobby, thirsty customers were purchasing $200 to $300 of the beverage every month. So they decided that a payment machine would better serve their customers and free up the desk staff. So they contacted the company with a reasonable request, saying, "We are currently doing business with you and we want to change to a self-paying machine. Can you please give us the prices?" The owner was shocked when the Coca-Cola company informed them that it has a corporate policy against placing Coke machines in businesses that sell marijuana. The friendly-sounding letter told them that Coca-Cola had made an internal decision not to place Coca-Cola equipment at marijuana dispensaries, and they apologized for not being able to process the work order for the new machine and asked them to schedule a pickup for the cooler that they currently had. The Altitude Wellness Center is a family-owned business and a nice, clean establishment. They found it strange that Coca-Cola, that is sold in bars across the country, strip clubs, and even its own history, that started with cocaine in their formula. The owner fired off another letter asking them to clarify what other business sector types that they will not place their equipment in. Now, when the Denver Westward contacted the company for more information, Michelle McKillop, the Vice President of Public Affairs and Communications for the Northwest region of Coca-Cola Refreshment, said that Coke didn't have a blanket policy forbidding the placement of machines in medical marijuana businesses, and that the company would apologize to that dispensary for implying otherwise. The owner calls it good news, but says it is very frustrating to go through this with so many companies, from banks to credit cards and now beverages, when they are a legitimate business.
Well, it's good to see that they came around on this, that Coca-Cola did, but, you know, it's all the bottom line. It's all money. They realize that, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of money. And in fact, when you look at the economy these days, it's about the only place that's a growth industry is medical marijuana dispensaries, especially in Denver, Colorado. So I can see why they came around on this. Kind of shocking that the purveyor of, you know, high fructose corn syrup and sugar and caffeine would have a problem with cannabis, but I guess that's the way it goes sometimes.
And in Colorado yesterday, a bill that would place tighter restrictions on people driving after using marijuana took another step forward. House Bill 1261 would create a limit on the amount of THC that drivers can have in their blood. According to the legislation, anyone who tests above 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood would be presumed to be too high to drive, much like the current 0.08% blood alcohol content that is considered too drunk to drive in Colorado. The bill has the support of law enforcement officials who say that it brings specificity to the existing law that can ban driving while under the influence of marijuana. But the law has been criticized by many in the medical marijuana community and beyond that the 5 nanogram level is too low for people who have high THC tolerances. And since THC levels in the blood can spike and dip quickly and also vary based on the potency of strains, ingestion methods, and other factors, it would be very difficult for a cannabis consumer to ever know what the level of THC is in their blood. The bill's supporters say that a number of studies have concluded that people with levels above 5 nanograms are impaired, and that before a driver would ever be taken to have their blood drawn, a police officer would need a reason to suspect them of drug driving. But approval by the State House of Representatives didn't come without contention, including a disagreement among the bill's two sponsors. Representative Barb Gardner, a Republican from Colorado Springs, wanted that number to be higher at 8 nanograms per liter. But the other sponsor, Representative Mark Waller, another Colorado Springs Republican, said that there was nothing to support that 8 was the right level. Gardner was so angry that he proposed lowering the limit to 2 nanograms before he finally backed off. The House passed the bill with the 5 nanogram limit, but not before making it harder in the future for lawmakers to tinker with the limit as the bill makes its way through the legislature. The bill still needs one more vote in the House before moving over to the Senate, where it must survive at least 3 votes to make it to the governor's desk.
Well, we've talked a lot about this controversy here, and we've gone through it with Paul Armentano a couple times. Some things to remember. We're talking about a presumption of DUID here, not a per se. So it's not quite like the 0.08 blood alcohol level. With that, if you're above 0.08, you're guaranteed drunk. We don't have to prove nothing else. Even if you were driving perfectly, 0.08. You're drunk. But this 5 nanograms per milliliter thing is just something that adds to the charge of if they already thought that you were impaired in the first place. So it's kind of a different situation. It's not a situation where 5 nanograms means that you're automatically a DUID. It just provides the fact that you probably are, but you can argue against that. And of course, patients would be able to argue against that. And the other thing, too, is what you've got right now is 0 nanograms per milliliter. What you've got right now is 0. You've got a situation where if they pull you over and they suspect you that you're a little bit impaired, they can take you to the hospital, draw your blood, and if they find any nanograms per milliliter, you can be considered a DUID. So in a sense, this bill is just clarifying something and could even make it so we have fewer people that are getting in trouble in this situation. And for the people that are all up in arms about this, remember that you have to have already gotten to the point where they think that you're you are an impaired driver before this blood testing thing even takes effect. And even with that, it's going to take an hour or so to get to the blood testing. So the chances that you're going to be above 5 nanograms per milliliter would mean that you would have to have huffed and puffed and blown your house down and then immediately got in the car and then immediately gotten pulled over and then gotten to the lab as quickly as possible before we're going to find, you know, levels that are that high. And furthermore, understand that when you're arguing this issue, how you sound to the general public, that they've got to, you got to understand that we're not saying we want people out there driving impaired. Always remember that when we're making this point. We know that cannabis using drivers are not as large a risk as alcohol using drivers, not even as large a risk as fast food eating or text messaging drivers, but it is still a risk and we need to be respectful of that.
I think it's time that we get above 5 nanograms per milliliter.
We are definitely going to see if we can spike the chart. It's like one of those things at the fair where you hit the hammer and ding! We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, Brock Dung Barria, Herb is Medicine to Brock Dung Barria, boost the economy and Brock Dung Barria, it's helping other states, Brock Dung Barria, cannabis for legalized to Brock Dung Barria, join and speak your voice, Brock Dung Barria, we gonna change the law, Brock Dung Barria, we got to educate, Brock Dung Barria, yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
High in the Rockies, for the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey now, fellow Marijuana Nation citizens. Grateful Dread here in the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio in Summit, New Jersey. GDPR presents diverse sounds and ideas for open minds 24 hours a day, multi-genre music and news talk programming that means something. We're here to make a better world. We hope you'll join us at gdreadradio.net. Right now I'm moonlighting as Irie Wednesday music editor for Normal Show Live and proud to help Radical Russ and the crew spread the good word about the good herb. My job here is to bring you the Irie Toker tune each Wednesday, and today's track is one very close to this ganja girl's heart. Long kept in the background, more and more women are taking the lead in bringing the world fantastic reggae music. The righteous Mama Marjas is one example. Born in Italy, yes, Italy, La Marjas, a.k.a. Maria Germinario, writes and sings conscious reggae, dancehall, and roots music, and she shares her art with audiences in Italy, the UK, and now the US. On her 2010 Love University release, Bee Lady, she sings about important issues such as violence against women, and also pays homage to the mighty herb in this dubtastic cut, ganja. Check out Mama Marjas on MySpace, Facebook, iTunes, and right here on Normal Show Live. Take a listen, Mama Marjas and ganja.
I love it so. Let me hide, touch your slime. I won't miss go by. Give me more ganja. No happy bone. No kill nobody's not a crime. Smoke it is natural. If I was off ganja, no up no more. Me no bum no cigarettes. Me no bum no coke. I'm sure my only cure is my ganja. Let me plant my ganja. Ganja, I'm original and professional. You can stop me, policeman or politician. Let's go. To my inspiration and contribution. It's not a joke for me, no smoke, be empathy, smoke, feeling, no spend money to the drugs of the rich. Put my seed in my garden and my herbs go free. I can feel better the vibes of my music. It's magic, make me smile and sing. Ganja,
I love this war, and let me hide, touch your sky. I'm a whisk go by, get me more.
Ganja,
no happy bone, no kill nobody's not a prize. Smoke it is not so rally flowers off.
Ganja,
no walk no more. Me no want no cigarettes, me no want no coke. I'm sure my only cure is my
ganja. Let me plant my ganja. It simply is a plant that I can plant it in my garden.
Plant it in my garden.
But they no one. Into my plantation, the policeman is a problem.
He's a bigger problem.
With the roadblocks, stop me in all the streets and boots above my pocket.
Boots above my mashie.
You would think that plant the cali for the money, but that make it for me is written now. Stop it, stop this hypocrisy is a philosophy. A way to live, me no one go a jail. Stop it, come to tell us of my children. If you talk with conscience, you're not a public danger. Synthetic drugs and alcohol kill more than guns. I tell you, say they are no longer yourself, man. Sensei mania is sin, a profound reaper. Take the claim and bless the child.
Ganja, I love it so. Let me eye, touch your sky. Baba, whisk go by, give me more.
Ganja,
no happy bone. No kill nobody's not a crime. Smoke it is natural, it flowers off.
Ganja,
no hope no more. Me the bone no cigarettes, me the bone no coke. I'm sure my only cure is my
ganja.
Let me plant my
ganja. Day by day, girl, I see it from my window. Day by day, I hope the Babylon no knock at my door. I'm a rebel and protect my plantation. It's my mission, my work, my motivation.
From the beginning of the creation, that was awesome, the tomb of King Solomon. This only plant lives and not only Jamaica. Babylon try to burn it, don't take it to them, but the system screams.
Stop it, stop this hypocrisy, is a philosophy. A way to live, me no one go a jail. Stop it, come to tell us of my children. If you from big conscience, they're not a public danger. Sensei, these drugs and alcohol kill more than gun. Goes out there, you say they can no longer yourself, man. Sensei, me that is saying, the profound weeper. Take the claim and bless the child one.
Ganja, I love this war. Let me eye, touch your side. I will whisper by, give me more.
Ganja,
no happy bone. No kill nobody's not a crime. Smoke it is not a rally flowers on.
Ganja,
no hope no more. No hope no more. No cigarettes, no hope no coke. I'm sure my only cure is my
ganja.
Let me plant my
ganja. My ganja,
mama,
my ganja,
a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Yo, what's good? This is B-Real of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do with mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, every Wednesday we get to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, the author of Understanding Marijuana. Hi, Dr. Mitch.
Hello!
Oh boy, we've got all sorts of science to talk about today. Last week I brought up a study, and then this week we posted up on Normal another study, so I'll ask you about both of them. Let's start with the one from last week, the South African study that we referenced about frequent cannabis use leading to lower incidence and shorter incidence of psychosis. Did you get a chance to check that one?
I did, and I was delighted that this even made it into print. It's so counter to what's been out there for so long that I was concerned that reviewers might have bounced this, but it showed up, and the data are actually quite compelling. In part because it's in South Africa, I'm wondering if maybe some of the strains folks get there are higher in cannabidiol. We are seeing that cannabidiol does seem to decrease some of the magical ideation and other psychotic symptoms, and perhaps that's what's going on with this crew. It just lets us know that the problems in the United States with only being able to investigate a single strain are really going to haunt us in this kind of thing, and so I hope we get an opportunity to file this sort of data up. I also hope this opens up the floodgates for people who have either null findings where marijuana doesn't lead to anything, or contrary findings where cannabis is actually decreasing the duration of psychosis, so that these will find their way into print. I know at least one investigator who put one of his experiments into the file drawer and basically never got to publish it, in part because of the bias against his null results was just so strong.
Yeah, I was excited to see this study too, because we see so many of these that say, you know, you smoke pot, you'll go schizophrenic, you'll get psychosis, or if you're predisposed to it, it will be worse. And again, this is saying the opposite, so that's some interesting data. Check that out at our blog at stash.normal.org. You can look for the cannabis science category, and all of these things are filed there. Now let's get to the newer one. Paul posted this one up on the Normal front page about cannabis and spontaneous tumor regression. Tell us about this one.
The bottom line here is we're now seeing, as we've said time and again, that a number of cannabinoids, including THC, basically it'd make it so that brain tumors decrease in size. And this is not, you know, in a petri dish here. We got living human beings, and it's all panning out in a way that many of us suspected but never quite, you know, thought the data were really going to show. I don't mean to imply that this is some new cancer treatment that everybody should jump on, or this is some kind of cancer prevention technique so you can go misbehave with cigarettes or other carcinogens and then smoke a joint and suddenly be free of any cancer, because a dear friend of mine died recently who was quite an avid fan of the plant. But the clincher here is we really are seeing in the most applied, most relevant setting, a decrease in tumor size related to cannabinoids.
Okay. And, you know, with respect to that, too, we've got the, you know, the unfortunate news, the longtime Wisconsin advocate and normal chapter leader, affiliate leader, Ben Mazel up there in Madison, has come down with, I think he's got stage 3 lung cancer, and he's doing the chemo treatments right now. And some media out there tried to make light of, you know, make note of this, that, you know, frequently known to be a cannabis smoker, but Ben also was an occasional tobacco user as well. What is the science on lung cancer risk with both just cannabis use by itself or cannabis use with tobacco use?
I'm so saddened by Ben's illness and want to make sure that I don't minimize the fact that he's a great guy and this is a complete tragedy. The data on folks who smoke cannabis and only cannabis developing lung cancer are actually not only nil, but at least in one study, mildly negative, so that the cannabis users, at least in Los Angeles, have a slightly lower rate of lung cancer if they're not using tobacco products than the folks who are just breathing the smog of LA every day. And nobody wants to come right out and say that. And again, I'm not saying that cannabis is a protection against lung cancer, but there clearly aren't strong epidemiological data that support the idea that cannabis would have induced lung cancer, particularly in a single case like Ben's. I should point out, too, that lots of folks get lung cancer without even smoking cigarettes. Exposure to pollutants, heritable propensity towards the disorder, other irritants that may be in the air. Folks who are around the World Trade Center are showing some susceptibility to some changes after 9/11. I mean, we really have to be aware that there are a number of paths to lung cancer, and just smoking isn't that path. But the data on smoking cannabis and only cannabis suggests that that's really not a risk here, and pharmacologically it makes sense.
Yeah, all right. And good luck to Ben. We wish you all the best and hope everything turns out as well as can be hoped. Now, to move on, we are going to take some questions from the chat room. We've got a bunch of them coming up here, as well as phone questions at 971-533-7111. But Cannabis Carrie had a question about another study.
Well, I was going to ask you, Dr. Minch, if you saw the study that came out last week or the week before from Vanderbilt researchers that showed heavy users of marijuana that don't want to quit, they found that daily exercise on a treadmill cut their usage by half. Did you see that one?
I've seen that, and it's actually an extension on an alcohol one that is also comparable, and I'm actually a consultant on one that somebody just submitted on this same topic. What we're finding after we've, you know, talked about the marathon runners and that high that we thought was so opiate-related, or only the endogenous endorphins that are related to opiates, turns out does work in that cannabinoid system, it makes sense that 45 minutes on the treadmill every day would decrease craving and desire for high-quantity consumption of cannabis. And I was delighted to see somebody actually went to the effort and clearly must have had the funding to get these data out there. And I'm a huge fan of exercise. I'm not the king of it myself, but Russ did see me early in the morning last normal conference out going for my run. And I think it's just great for our mood and health. And in part, I just love that we'll all have clear heads and lots of energy to work for the cause.
Yeah, I know when I'm running on a treadmill, I keep spilling the bong water. And so that's never good. All right, let's go to our questions here from the chat room. First question coming, well, I can't read the name, but it's got a 420 on the end of it. Does cannabis contribute to helping sleep apnea, insomnia, and other sleep-related disorders?
We have pretty compelling evidence that cannabis can help insomnia, particularly that latency to fall asleep. So folks who often say they lie in bed for 45 minutes before they can drift off, cannabis does seem to help that. But it's very strain-dependent and very dose-dependent. So too much is definitely going to be troublesome for that. And there are certain sativas that are just too stimulating to basically be used in that way. For sleep apnea, unfortunately, we don't have the data, and it just literally the studies have not been done with a big enough sample to make any sense of it. Other sleep disorders, some of the restless leg syndrome, there are at least a couple of individual cases where folks have said that oral cannabis, administered right before bed, so it's going to be metabolized more slowly and last the duration of your sleep, seems to decrease some of that. So, you know, we definitely have some promising pathways here. But again, good sleep hygiene where you use your bed only for basically sex and sleep and not, you know, staying up all night watching TV in bed and then expecting to fall asleep after you've been watching horror movies in that exact same spot is a big help. Good exercise, but not too late in the day. And keeping that caffeine consumption down is also a big plus for making sure sleep is good.
Mm. All right, we've got a question from one of our regular chatters. Doc Herbalist wants to know. He says, with multiple all caps in here, too, I'm flying. I went off of all the big pharma drugs. Day 13 without Effexor, but I'm still flying high. And even the heavy OGs, and I assume he means, you know, weed, strain, whatever, heavy OGs, only calm me down for about 10 to 20 minutes. What do you suggest for someone trying to kick these big, heavy pharma drugs that's still feeling these effects?
The clincher on if you're having basically an anxious reaction, is it withdrawal or is it trait like anxiety? Is that why you got into this in the first place? I know people hate the self-help books, but my friend and colleague John Forsythe has a great anxiety workbook that has really been helpful to literally hundreds of people across the nation for keeping some of that up. And then I hate to badmouth Effexor. Well, maybe I don't. but the clincher here is there really is a genuine withdrawal, and that can take 2 to 3 weeks for some of that to dissipate. And I think the key here is acceptance. You have to understand that your moods are going to ebb and flow and ask folks around you to cut you a little bit of slack, and then make sure you take good care of yourself. Go ahead and try to keep your stressors to a minimum. Organize your day so it's not too much of a hassle. Make sure you get time to have fun every day, even if it doesn't involve the plant, and essentially, you know, make sure you build a nice, meaningful life, and this stuff will really dissipate.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me too, I see this commercial on TV now. It's another new antidepressant commercial where they use a cartoon to help sell the drug. And it's this woman being followed around by this big black spot that's supposed to represent her depression, right? And the drug is for one of these drugs that you're supposed to take on top of the other drug. Like, if your current antidepressant doesn't work, take this one and it'll help the first one work. And in the cartoon, the little black spot never goes away, and their mantra throughout this commercial is being able to control and live with your depression. Doesn't it seem a little crazy that we're now giving pills to help treat other pills?
This is really, I think, a tragedy. And in fact, when you look at the 2-year follow-up data on most of the antidepressants we have, they're maybe 5% better than the placebo and sometimes the same as the placebo. I love that book, Feeling Good, by David Burns. It's thick and heavy duty, but it really talks about how to handle depression and how to, think about the way you're thinking about things, how you see things, and changing, your behavioral patterns. So, I mean, I get these depressed clients down at our clinic here in Albany, and I say, what did you do today? And they sat in the dark all day eating Cheetos, watching pornos. I mean, what a surprise. That gets to be a bum out by day 5. And I think that these interventions are really the way to make it happen, not leaning on more and more big pharma products.
Okay. We have an anonymous question here. And again, we're taking questions in our chat room. Oh, by the way, I understand that our Stick'em room has now maxed out on the number of friends. And I've been making the chat room friends only, so I'm going to have to lift that prohibition eventually. But if you're not able to get in the chat, I apologize. You can send your questions by email to 420research@gmail.com, or you can call us at 971-533-7111. All right, the anonymous question: do we have any data on marijuana usage and allergy sufferers, and can marijuana affect people with severe pollen allergies?
Interesting. No, in fact, there's nothing published on that, and I'm in part because different allergens work in different systems. It would be hard to second guess how that would work. Some of the asthma literature is mixed, and things like hay fever and stuff like that. Yeah, it would be really hard to guess how that would pan out. That's a very, very intriguing idea, but completely under-investigated.
Yeah, I have pretty bad seasonal allergies, bad hay fever, and it seems whenever I trim, I get an attack, you know. But I've never had a problem smoking it, so I don't know.
Interesting. Let's go to the phone lines here. We've got a call coming in from the 808 area code. You're on with Dr. Mitch. What's your question?
Yes, I'm on SSI because I get exactly say I'm crazy. But now the medications is hurting me physically. I mean, I have liver problems, cirrhosis, and Hep C. and I refuse to take the medications now. I'm self-medicating, which I seem to be doing fine. But can they cut me off from my SSI because I refused pharma meds?
Unfortunately, it's different in different states, and opportunity to basically get a look at your urine is different in different states, and so I would be reluctant to say, oh, federally, here's the way that goes. If you have a good relationship with your mental health provider in that state, talking around it about a friend who may have this problem and finding out how that would work may be more informative than anything I can tell you.
Yeah, it's so different state by state there that we really wouldn't know what they could do. So I would consult with lawyer in this case. It might be worth doing. We're going to go to the phone lines again here, and my home state, my birth state of Idaho, on the line. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hey, how's it going? My name is Michael.
Go ahead, Michael. What's your question?
My name is Michael. What I was wondering was, I was in a serious car accident in 2004.
Yeah, you got to turn off your computer in the background there. You're going to get a terrible loop there.
Hold on. Okay, so I was in a serious car accident in 2004.
Okay.
And I haven't, visited a doctor or anything like that, but all I have been doing is, using cannabis. Now, what I want to know is, I haven't had seizures or anything like that. I had traumatic brain injuries, things like that. I wanted to know, is cannabis a good solution to, anti-seizures?
Unfortunately, seizures also generate from multiple causes. We do see folks respond well to cannabis and keeping seizures at bay if they have a particular subset of the way seizures can happen. But if you haven't been to a physician to find out exactly how these are being generated, it's unclear what would be the best method of attack. So I would encourage you to see a physician and talk about this, because there are pathways to seizure that can be extremely serious, and that a cannabis would essentially mask the problem rather than treat it. And so I'm uncomfortable saying, oh, it would just be fine under these circumstances.
Yeah, go see a specialist. Go see a doctor about this, man, because, getting in a car wreck and getting your brain slammed around in your skull like that can have lasting effects throughout the rest of your life. And have a professional check that out, man. Don't just rely on the cannabis. There is a time and a place for professional medication and professional doctors and hospitals and all that, and car wreck is on the list. Okay, so get in and get that checked. Okay. All right, let's see, we got some more questions here. We're gonna have to round up here. If you don't have the time to get the question in on today's show, you can always email 420research@gmail.com. We'll take a couple more here. Question here: Are there any publications that explain the revenue from the marijuana industry to help have something in writing to give our senators and representatives to help fight for legalization?
Jeffrey Myron's chapter in my book Pot Politics walks it through very, very nicely. And it's relatively short, so I think people could appreciate that. The new book, Cannabiconomics, which I know sounds funny, but it's basically cannabis and economics put together, goes through this in incredible detail and really nicely. And I know that that's on local bookstores and the major internet sources of books. I would say those two right now are the most up-to-date ways to make that point.
Yeah, check out Pot and Politics. You can go to major booksellers and get a copy of that, and the Jeffrey Myron chapter. If you need just some of the basic statistics, you can find them at prohibitioncosts.org. I believe that was an MPP-funded website, but it's got the Myron study on there, and you can get some basic statistics. But, get a copy of Pot and Politics. That'll help you out with that. All right, well, folks, we're going to round it out here. We've got one more question from Wyatt, who wants to know. He says, most of the ganja I get is commercial, with stems and leaves and human hair and a cat hair here and there. And he hears about molds in weed, and he wants to know, what is the dangers of smoking these contaminants, like pet hairs or sticks and stems or seeds or anything like that?
All I can say, it's really worth it to do a little cleaning. And it's funny because it doesn't have to be a big effortful thing. Ganja John and I have joked about this in the past. You can be sitting there watching TV, going through things and making sure stray material is getting its way out of your bag, and it's much, much better. The subjective experience of taste and things like that improves dramatically. There's nothing smellier or grosser than a burnt human hair, and really, it really is time well spent, and it is not an effortful process.
Yeah, nobody wants to be smoking Labrador, that's for sure. All right, well, Dr. Mitch, it's always good speaking with you. On Wednesdays, we do this segment, Cannabis Science, every Wednesday. And again, email address 420research@gmail.com. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you then.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Well, folks, we're experiencing some testicular difficulties.
Whoops. Here. That was Ganja John's fault, guys.
I don't know
sorry
what's
about that.
There, but hey, it happens. This is we're doing it live.
Yeah.
We're doing it live. That's okay. What we're doing right now, of course, is the radical rant. And I wanted to get into this. I brought this up a little bit yesterday on the show because I got a complaint. And this is a situation I'm seriously asking for input on this because I may be wrong on this one. This has to do with the way people are offended by things, and there's a lot of context to it, and I'm a white guy from the Pacific Northwest, so I may not know what the hell I'm talking about, so anybody wants to help me out on this, I'm happy to take the help. But it has to do with this podcast. It's a part of the Normal Network, and it's the Cannabis States of America. And first of all, of course, that's a play on Confederate States of America, and this is a podcast that's originating out of Florida, and it's very well done, and very professional. Nothing offensive about the podcast at all, but what has bothered this one commenter is the icon they're using, and that I have subsequently put up on the Normal Network, the Normal Stash blog page, and it's this. It's the Confederate ganja flag. Okay, and this is their symbol that they're using right now. This flag, of course, slightly resembles the Confederate stars and bars, you know, that is known throughout the South and was the symbol of the Confederacy, but not exactly. What this is a cross called a St. Andrew's cross. Anytime you have a flag that's got that yellow cross across it, that's a St. Andrew's cross. And there's another flag that's very similar to that. It's got a St. Andrew's cross, and that is the flag of Jamaica that I just put up there, right? So the Jamaican flag actually has the St. Andrew's cross, and actually more resembles this CSA flag because this CSA flag has two different colors going on in it when the Confederate flag only has one. It's got the red background with the blue cross, and the blue cross has a white border with white stars. This is a yellow cross with no border and green pot leaf. So in my mind, I thought, well, you know, it's kind of a satirical take. It's kind of, you know, of course they're not supporting the Confederacy. They're just saying, you know, we're from the South, but we're for ganja, right? Because they're using the Rasta colors. You know, they're using the Rasta colors in the flag, the red, yellow, and green thing. So to me, it made sense as a satirical take, as a icon for the Southern podcast for pot. I kind of got that. But the person complaining said, you know, this is an offensive symbol. The Confederate flag is an offensive symbol. And when we're trying to reach out to people of color, the last thing we need to do is to throw up another roadblock, to throw up something that they might see as offensive. And I don't know. You know, a lot of times when I get people telling me that people of color would be offended, they're not people of color telling me. Right? So I don't know. Again, I'm open to criticism on this one. I may be wrong, but I don't see a problem with this symbol that we're using here. And let me bring up something that I drew up on a blog post that I did on this. And I called it offensive flags because, you know me, I'm a graphics guy. I like to do little graphic design, and I like to see things, you know, graphically to try to understand them. It's how my brain works. So I'm going to bring this up on the screen and just give you the way I kind of, you know, examine this, because I wanted to know what makes it offensive. Is it just the context that we're talking about, you know, a Southern podcast, that they're Southerners? Like, if someone else made this, would it be as offensive, you know, than that it's made by Southerners? But let me get the window up here. So we'll start right up here. And of course, in the left-hand side there, you can see the Confederate flag. That's the actual stars and bars. And right next to it, you can see the cannabis state's flag, which is similar in that they both have an X and 13 items. But aside from that, quite different. The cannabis states has two different colors in the field and no border on the cross. So they're not that different. And then when I look over here, we got the cannabis states alongside the flag of Jamaica. You know, I see more similarity there than I see in the other situation. And of course, there's other flags throughout the world that use that St. Andrew's cross, most famously Scotland. Of course, the island nation of Scotland, just like the island nation of Jamaica. So the cross itself isn't the problem, apparently, because lots of flags have these crosses. In fact, I started looking out through the United States, and in the southern states, Florida and Alabama use that same exact cross in theirs. Now, Florida's different. Florida puts an icon, just one icon, over the cross, and Alabama doesn't have any icons over the cross. So it's not offensive. Nobody's offended by the Florida or Alabama flag. So apparently a cross is okay, and even having a symbol on the cross is okay, as long as it's one symbol on the cross, not 13, apparently. That's the issue. But as we go over to Mississippi, Mississippi still holds the stars and bars in its flag there. South Carolina used to, they got rid of it. Georgia used to, they got rid of it because of the controversy. But yeah, people say this is offensive, so again, I've got to interpret that it's, you know, 13 symbols inside the X that make the difference. Well, what if I got a podcast from someone called Ganja Today? Let's say it was a Jamaican podcast and they use the Jamaican flag, but they put 13 pot leaves over the cross in the Jamaican flag. Now, would that be offensive? Because they're not Southern, you know, and maybe they're putting 13 pot leaves up there to represent, I don't know, 13 articles of belief they have about ganja. Who knows? But would the symbol itself be offensive because it's got an X with 13 items in it? Would it? And again, just to be silly here, I came up with a few others I thought of. Let's say we got that same ganja flag, the same Jamaican flag, but they're from the South and they made it, right? Maybe they used to live in Jamaica and they moved to Alabama. Can they use that flag now? Or what if I take the Alabama flag and I put 5 pot leaves in the cross? I put 5 pot leaves in the cross. It's not 13, so is that okay? Can I do that? How about if they're not even from the South at all? Let's say that we had one called the Christian States podcast, and they used a red field with a blue cross with a white border, but then put little Christian crosses in the X, and not 13 of them, but only 9 of them. Would that be in and of itself offensive? Or what if we took the Scottish St. Andrew's cross, the blue field with the white cross, and put 8 stars in the cross and 1 big pot leaf? Is that offensive? I mean, I'm being a little facetious here with this, but there is a point to the argument here, and that is, you know, how far do we take offense? Like, if we took down their flag for cannabis states and just left the initials CSA, and then someone complains that, oh, CSA, Confederate States of America, and they're from the South, are we going to take that down too? How far should offense go? And is there a benefit or a loss? I mean, is this good or bad for the movement for me to have a podcast with this kind of symbology on it? If it were just me, if it were a flag I made, I would probably say, okay, benefit of the doubt, I'll take it down. But this is something that was submitted by someone who's putting their time and effort on the line for free, speaking out in one of the toughest places it is to be a cannabis consumer, and I'm really loath to tell him that our audience found his little flag satire just a little too touchy. So I'd really like to get some input on this. I've got a blog post on it at the blog at stash.normal.org, as well as a poll. Last I looked, the poll was 80-20, saying no, it wasn't offensive. So check it out, stash.normal.org. Let me know what you think, because this is a topic I need some education on. All right, for Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. Stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio coming up next live on the Normal Network. For those of you listening on podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.